Well, Ian still doesn't have his voice back, and Leah can't record this week. And, well, I know nobody tunes into the show for me, so I can't host the show by myself. And besides, that's what Nitric Game Injection is for, so,
You know what you must do.
Yeah, I guess I do.
Initiating emergency episode F17L3R.
Yep, it's another Q&A episode, folks. Hello and welcome to the Bumblecast. I am your host, Kyle JCRB Kraust, and joining me as always is... Well, sadly, I am here pretty much alone, except for this robot who's not very talkative outside of when I need him to be. So it's just me this week, sadly. I know you're disappointed, but we're trying to make the best of the situation that we can. Ian's voice is still lost to time. I don't know when it will be back. Hopefully soon. I miss talking to that guy. I miss having a friend. In lieu of being able to do an actual full-on normal episode, I'm going to be grabbing the robot, Metal Ian. He's going to be helping me as we go through your questions and do some sort of Q&A to just... Bring something to you guys, so that way you have something to listen to, and there's some new stuff for you to have. So keep in mind, all these answers are actually written and answered by the real Ian. It's just he's lost his voice, so unfortunately he cannot actually say them to you in his voice. So I have crafted this robot for some reason. I don't know why I needed to make a whole robot when I could just as easily do just like a digital voice reader thingy. But you know what? If there's anything about this show, you know, we try to go overboard. It's what we do. We try our best. So in this time, we're going to be doing our best, and we hope you will continue to listen and watch the live streams. We'll be still be doing the Bumblecast gaming stuff, so don't worry about that. If you're one of the handful of people who actually pay attention to that. I look at the numbers. I know what they are. It's okay. I get it. You're not here for us to play video games. You're here for us to talk about them. That's fine. I get it. So, you know, it's no problem. I expect it. But hey, you know what? If you got some extra time these days, and I know you, most of you probably do, come check in on the live streams. Come hang out with us. We're good people. We have fun over there. You can find them over at twitch.tv/BumblecastGaming. Those will be going on. And hey, you know, maybe check out some of the archived versions of the streams that we've been posting every week. Why not? They're there. All right. Well, with that, I'm going to get the robot going. And actually, no, wait, he's already going. He's already warmed up. So let's get right into it. Let's go ahead and get into some of the Q&A from the folks out there. If you want to ask your Q&A, just email us at bumblecast@yahoo.com. You can also do so on Twitter at Bumblecast. Via Ko-Fi, you can also send us a coffee at ko-fi.com/bumblecast. And you can also leave your questions down in the YouTube comments or via Patreon comments and questions, or in the Q&A channel on the Patreon Discord. Keep in mind that we do have a few ground rules for questions, whether or not they'll be answered on the show. If the question has been answered fairly recently within the last few episodes, is on the FAQ over at bumbleking.com, or is about Sonic plans for past issues, especially for stuff that will be covered in Lost Hedgehog Tales, we likely won't be able to answer it. If your question hasn't been answered for a while, check those places. And if it has been a really long time and it does not fall under those rules, then go ahead and just ask it again. Just send it to me again. I'll try to make note of it. That we get a lot of questions from a lot of different places, so trying to keep it all organized and everything has been, let's say a struggle. So anyway, let's go ahead and get into the priority Q&A. This first one comes to us from Diane W. Would you be opposed to an idea of a modern Sonic game where the writing and tone games currently would you be opposed to an idea of a modern Sonic game where the writing and tone comes currently with everything being lighthearted and cringy and the character or portrayals of Sonic and his friends gets deconstructed, like how everyone's disappointed in Sonic for being too cocky and jokey with terrible tastes in puns and not taking things seriously, a la Sonic Forces, or Tails for derailing to a coward again after the development he went through in the Adventure Era games, or Shadow for becoming a prideful and arrogant jerk after everything he's been through in SA2 Heroes and 06, for example. For an example of deconstruction in media, why not look into the two most well-known deconstructed anime, Neon Genesis Evangelion for the mecha genre, and Puella Magi Madoka Magica for the magical genre.
I feel like Sonic games have to have a more consistent narrative tone and vision before it can really be deconstructed. Heroes, Shadow, Sonic 06 and Colors are all part of the same narrative but not cohesive in tone. Shows like Evangelion and Madoka are examining tropes across entire genres. Sonic is not a genre.
All right, our next question comes from the Imagine Breaker 121212. This is a very long question, so bear with me. I know this topic has been asked or referred to a lot. I've watched a Bumblecast, like most people here. Well, I hope so, if you're answering this question. Or if you're asking this question. But I've gone through interviews and forums and can't seem to shake it together. In forums, you say Game Sonic is a part of the Archie multiverse, but in real life, in our perspective, it is the base canon, whereas Archie is the center of it. In interviews, you've said that Sega allowed you to place an adaptation of the games in comic form in the Archie multiverse to keep the consistency, like Sonic X, called Another Time and Another Place, which you've claimed is in the same canon as the games, and we could call the Sega Sonic universe and could be deemed so. So in your own works in the description of Sonic Universe, of course, it is described as being another different world that's like and beyond what we know to the game world. There's also one more complication as well. Sonic Boom game/TV show is treated by Sega to be a parallel universe to the game continuity, like the Ultimates is to the 616 universe of Marvel. And in your run of Sonic Boom, it's a claim that the comics takes place in the same universe/existence as said game's TV show of Boom. And according to the sources I've read, it's parallel universes in relation to Archie, Sonic, Mega Man X, Zero, etc. So that would mean it's a parallel to Archie, Sonic, and Game Sonic? How does that work? They are their own thing in retrospect, but they've all interacted at some point or another. Is Sega being nuts again? Or was this an unintended map? Is Another Time, Another Place universe the Game Sonic universe? Is it another timeline? Can I just say, this is me, Kyle, editorializing here. That was one sentence for, like, most of that paragraph. So, Imagine Breaker, if I could make a suggestion, periods, the little dot that goes at the end of sentences, periods. You use a lot of commas, not enough periods. So, periods, please. Thank you.
It's a moot point since that book is over. But I'm not getting out of it that easy, am I? In terms of the comics continuity, the comics universe was the central reality and all others were offshoots of it. The Another Time, Another Place stories are all their own realities, even if they're very similar to the games they're based on. General rule of thumb, if it's a different form of media, treat it as a parallel universe, unless explicitly stated otherwise.
All right, here's a much more succinct question from Crooker. Here's a question courtesy of a friend of mine. Should a miracle occur and the gates open to the cartoon-only characters being usable in the new comics, what is the likelihood of being able to openly show Sally's bisexuality?
I honestly don't know. IDW's policies seem to be welcoming to such representation, but it would be up to Sega if they'd be okay with it being shown in their property. As I've said in the past, if any old cartoon characters become accessible, they will most likely not be anything like their comic counterparts.
And next up, as our last priority question this week, we have one from Daniel H. He says, "For Mr. Flynn, firstly, hopefully, I hope you get well soon. Now for the question. On your Bumble King website, under services, you are available for hire to work on localizations, manuscripts, etc. Would you ever consider script analysis work? Short to feature film length?"
I'm open to all kinds of editorial work, and from pretty much anyone. If you or anyone else has a project you want me to work on, in any capacity, email me at bkc.contact@yahoo.com. Daniel H. also has a question for you, Kyle. I hope you are well during this time. Question-wise, I need a game. Something cheap, lighthearted, easy to play, and can be downloaded onto a Mac. What you got? Thank you for your time, gentlemen. Be well."
Oh, well, thanks, Daniel. I hope you're doing all right, too. It's been a bit of a hairy time out there. But as for a game, well, I mean, this is kind of my default answer at this point. But I really have to go and say, especially if you're looking for something to play on a Mac, Shovel Knight is a great choice. If you have not played it already, I hope you will. It is a very good retro-style platformer with a lot of inspiration from classic 8 and 16-bit games. It is very lighthearted and a lot of fun. It has a good tone. If you enjoy like Sonic stuff, I'd say it would probably be a similar tone or up your alley. It's kid-friendly. Family-friendly. It is easy to play, difficult to master. I mean, the controls are very, very good. Very, very solid and easily played, but it can be a tough game. So know that going in. It's a tough platformer. It's also Mac compatible. And I know that the full game is $40, which is kind of expensive. But the individual campaigns are available separately. So for the $40 price, you get the four main campaigns. The main one for Shovel Knight. You also get expansion campaigns that where you can play as Plague Knight, Spectre Knight, and King Knight. And there's a lot of content in each of those that'll keep you playing for more hours beyond that. And then there's also Shovel Knight Showdown, which is a four-player fighting game a la Smash, featuring the characters. And that also has its own story mode for each of the characters in that. So there's a ton of content to be had in that game for $40. You can also get the individual campaigns just on their own. So say you want just the Shovel Knight campaign, which is probably the best place to start. That is, I believe, $15. And then you can, for an additional cost, you can buy the other campaigns or Showdown individually. So I think that is probably a pretty good deal. I mean, that's just my thoughts. I mean, yeah. And it's compatible with Mac. Shovel Knight is literally on everything imaginable. They've literally put it on a potato. Well, okay, maybe not on a potato, but I mean, you probably could use a potato to play it, and it would play just fine. So, yeah, it's like a really lightweight game. It's on everything, so get it if you haven't. All right, let's go ahead and get into the standard Q&A. First up, we've got one from Danny G. "I've been a Sonic fan since I was 12 years old. I've had a question burning inside me since knowing about the Solaris project in the Sonic series. You see, Mephiles was one of the greatest Sonic villains. He killed Sonic, tricked Silver, tested Shadow, and has been in my nightmares for a very long time. Question is, when are you guys bringing him back? I know he's not dead due to Scourge Lockdown, and I've been waiting for the thrill to be able to see more of the Dark Being. There are a lot of Mephiles fans, so I know you won't lose followers or readers by bringing him back. Also, I'd like to know what inspired you to write the Sonic franchise."
The Mephiles in Scourge Lockdown was an alternative reality version, and just a visual goof Tracy Yardley added in while drawing the page. The official word is he's dead and not coming back. I've asked. As for what inspired me, I grew up playing the games, watching the cartoons and reading the comics. When I decided to become a writer, I tried to get some kind of work writing Sonic. So far it's worked out.
Well, go figure. Next question comes from Red Scarf UK. We already know that Sonic's World was previously known as Mobius before Sega retired the name in all official media. However, Blaze's World never got an official name. If Sega was to decide to bring back the name Mobius for Sonic's World and give Blaze's World an official name for the first time, what do you think it would be?
Knowing my luck, they decide to call Blaze's World Mobius and give Sonic's World a different name. I don't know why Sega seems to have an aversion to naming the planets, outside of Planet Wisp and Planet Don Pen, so I can't begin to speculate.
All right, and our next question comes from our good buddy, Scruffy Matt. Says, hey there, fellas. I hate to break this to you, but oh my god, the zombie apocalypse is here and there are zombies everywhere! Ah-ha! Quick, guys, what's your zombie survival plan, and how would you need to edit that plan if you were dealing with zombots instead of zombies?
Stock up and wait it out. Zombies can't climb stairs well, and I live on the 16th floor. All realistic models for an outbreak make them incredibly easy to manage. As for zombots, Sonic will save us. Relax.
Yeah, that is what the robot would say, wouldn't it? Man, I don't know what I would do in a zombie apocalypse. I don't think I could make it, honestly. I mean, I'm just being honest. Like, I'm probably gonna go, so I don't know what I would do. Join them immediately? I don't know. I just know I wouldn't stand much of a chance, so. Oh well. This question comes to us courtesy of PC the Unicorn. So far, it hasn't been revealed how Silver is traveling through time in the current series along with what his future is like, besides the fact that in the current Metal Virus arc, everything is metal. Is that something fans can expect to learn about? Also, is Silver basically a time paradox now who kind of exists outside of the timeline due to how often he tries to change his future by going back to the past to play the shitty games that suck?
I'd love a chance to explore the bad future what-if scenarios, but I don't think we'll get the chance. As for Silver being a paradox, look, don't think too hard about it. I have, and it only leads to pain. It seems to be Silver goes to his past and it changes his future in simple, linear causality. Does that make a ton of sense? No. But I work with what I'm given.
Next question comes from Liam B. Have you ever talked to Ken Penders personally about the legal squeeze? Perhaps you could appeal to his inner art lover to let you make plans to finish it, or maybe he would choose that if he was somehow involved.
No. And I sincerely doubt that would work.
Now we have this question from James M. Does Sega have mandates against Sonic meeting alternate universe versions of himself, or is the door always open for Sonic versus anti-Sonic? Or anti-Sonic, however you want to pronounce it.
That's tricky. I'm certain we wouldn't be able to have him meet Sad AM Sonic or Boom Sonic, but we might get Classic Sonic. Anything beyond that would depend on the story, and I honestly don't know.
This next question is from Amaron R. Will you make more world building when the characters have dealt with the fallout of the metal virus?
There will be more stories that explore new areas of Sonic's world, yes.
All right, and the next one is from Starblaze145. Since Sonic Heroes is trending on Twitter at the time of this writing, I thought I would ask your opinion on something. Let's say, hypothetically, Tangle decided to form a team with Jewel and Whisper. Who would fulfill the roles of Speed, Fly, and Power, respectively? What do you think their team name would be?
Jewel was designed to be Tangle's Tails flying counterpart, so she's the flying partner. Tangle is a brawler, but she's almost nimble and fleet-footed, so she can be the speed partner. Whisper's variable Wispone can cause all sorts of heavy damage, so she's the power partner. I'm not sure about the team name. Tangle would suggest Team Awesome Friends being awesome together, but the others wouldn't be keen on it. Kyle, load a soundbite so I humorously say
Team Girl Squad!
From homestarrunner.com.
You got it, buddy. Alright, and our next question comes from Sonicu Knight. As a fan of Metal Sonic, my favorite character besides the Blue Blur himself, I was very pleased to see his character fleshed out a bit more in the first year of the IDW comic. Neo Metal Sonic is just cool. However, once he goes back to being Eggman's number one soldier after his downfall at Angel Island, I was sort of confused why he couldn't speak during his confrontation with Sonic and Silver. I'm pretty fine with Metal as a mute because I feel he can express his personality through his actions, yet I reread the rebooted Archie comics where he had a line here and there. Now, the lack of speaking in IDW as Vanilla Metal a mandate or a creative decision? I can see Metal ignoring Sonic's comments after all, as long as he can wreck him.
That was a note I ran into early on in my run on Archie Sonic. The word from Sega was Metal Sonic doesn't speak. I countered with all the times he'd spoken previously in the comic, in the games and OVA. The rule stuck. So Neo Metal can talk, but regular Metal cannot.
Here comes this question from P. Preston. I've long heard that it isn't possible to work on a comic series based off of a pre-existing franchise if a person posts stories on the internet that aren't original ideas slash intellectual property of their own, post fan fiction or fan work in a fan project. Is there any truth behind this?
A fair chunk of the IDW Sonic team is proof that's not true, myself included. If what you produce is hyperviolent or X-rated, it might undermine your chances, but that depends on the property, the licensor, and just how well your work is known. Some won't care, others will. You never know.
And here's one from Pink H. Are the Zone Cops / Core going to be returning at all? I found them rather interesting in their role and how they also introduced a vast multiverse of various zones and great potential. Plus, we never got to see Zone Cop Zado, or, you know, Shadow. So I'm curious if they are going to come back at some point.
Most likely not.
Well, there you go. Here's one from Tyler Renee M. Hey, Ian, I remember you joined with the Reasons Why I'm Broke podcast. I remember you guys talking about alternate universes that might be good to cross with Sonics. DC via Superman and Flash was one of them. How would you write that crossover? A crisis? A race? How would it all go down?
That all depends on which flavor of Flash and Superman we're talking about. I'm not as knowledgeable about the DCU as some others, so I'd need to do my research or collab with a DC writer.
Potato Vlogs wants to know, I wonder what Sonic's second favorite food is.
Antacids.
Yeah, that's about right. This one comes to us from Chaotic Canine. I heavily apologize for the nature of this question, but why is Amy characterized more like Sally in IDW? Amy is supposed to be an incredibly energetic and passionate girl who, while not dumb, thinks more with her heart than her mind. But in IDW, Amy is made to be a highly organized commander who speaks tactically, formulates meticulous plans, and needs to be convinced by Sonic to go on an adventure with him instead of doing paperwork. Amy is also supposed to be hugely optimistic, firmly believing things will turn out okay in the end, especially as long as Sonic's around. Yet she is among those losing hope in the Metal Virus Saga. Tengel seems more like Amy than Amy herself in IDW, being full of energy, excitement, and optimism, even telling Sonic she has full faith in his ability to save the world. And I just have to ask why this is.
I'm afraid I don't know where you're coming from. Amy has been shown floundering while trying to keep the restoration in order. She only took the job because Knuckles dumped it on her. Sally would have been managing the crisis far better. Amy has also been encouraging and supportive of everyone around her. She's feeling the strain of the crisis, but so has everyone else.
All right, Sonic Fan for Life 007 asks, is there any chance to see Mega Man comics on IDW Publishing, like Sonic the Hedgehog?
That would be up to IDW and Capcom.
Next up, we got one from The Swordsman 100. If Mega Man questions are allowed, if / when, since it's still on hiatus, apparently, I thought it was for sure canceled. You got to Mega Man 7 story, which version of the ending would you have used? Japan's, where Rock stands down, or America's, where Rock proclaims he is more than just a robot and almost murders Dr. Wily?
I like the idea that Rock gets caught in the laws of robotics loop. Letting Wily go will knowingly endanger others, but he can't harm him. I was even going to keep in the wonky translation as a sign of Rock's programming going on the fritz right before his system locked up.
And we got this question here from Trent H. How do you guys feel about the instant forgiveness seen in shows like DBZ? Even as a kid, I thought it was a bit of a stretch that mass murderers allowed into a group without a single question. Yeah, that is a little weird.
My Dragon Ball lore isn't the strongest, but I think Vegeta only fits that bill. Yamcha was just a thief and Tien kind of a jerk, right? Majin Buu was the good half split away, and the bad half was specifically reincarnated as the good Ubu. Piccolo is more of a son to King Piccolo, so he has an excuse. So that leaves Vegeta, and yeah, he's inexcusable. He comes around by the end of the Buu saga, but how many planets did he lay waste to before coming to Earth? Nah, he got off easy.
And this question comes to us from Doofus Brain Super Idiot. Hey, how dare you steal my name? Question! Dr. Eggman has been referred to simply as Eggman in some recent comics, as well as in Sonic Forces. Is he going through another confusing name change that isn't a name change? Or am I just noticing a pattern that isn't a pattern?
It's just tiresome to say Doctor every time. Same way they'd call him just Robotnik sometimes.
And here's one from Tick Tick. Team Sonic Racing says that Zavok is the former leader of the Deadly Six. This comic is technically not in keeping with the game lore, but when new developments like this come around, do you intend to try to mold the setting of the book to fit whatever new information we get, or are you taking a more relaxed approach this time around?
Given that we're discouraged from directly referencing the games right now, I'd say I'm taking a more relaxed approach. That and when I pitched the Metal Virus saga, nobody flagged Zavok as being a former leader, so I don't know what that's about.
Metal Ian, you mispronounced Zavok, but whatever. Whatever. Stupid robot. Alright. And finally, our last question comes from MarkTona1. MarkTona! I'm not sure that's exactly how you pronounce that, but I'm gonna go with that method, so there we go. They ask, who's your favorite Sonic voice actor?
Roger Craig Smith. I like the attitude and delivery he's given consistently across all the media.
I would agree. I do like Roger Craig Smith. I do have some nostalgia for Ryan Drummond and Jaleel White, though. But, I mean, as far as, like, Sonic as he is, like, Roger Craig Smith really does a good job. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Roger as well. All right, Metal Ian. We've officially gotten through all of this. Are you ready to go? Is there anything else you want to add?
Only that I ask for your patience as I enact my plan for world domin. I mean, as Ian is not able to be here in person to answer your questions. He will hopefully be back soon, but you may continue to have my dulcet tones serenading you for the next few episodes instead. We're trying to make the best of this situation and still bring you all a new podcast, so we appreciate your support. Speaking of support, Kyle, how about a shout out to all those patrons who help make this show what it is?
I'd love to. Here we go. Daniel H., Alex B., Connell T., Earthy Boy, Crooker, Blue Title Gamer, Koopaling Crew, Andrew D, Chris A, John B, Diane W, James K, Jennifer R, Revan the Light, Lisa M, Frederick, Degama F, Wow, Justin S, Papa Dripopoulos, Silly String, Tucaro, Scruffy Matt, Lee H, Overthinking Films, Don B, John M, Chauvel, Mike B, Dwizdiz Din, Samuel P, Justin G, Sin Fritz, Dave M, Sam Cybercat, and Final Neil.
Find Ian over at IanFlynnBKC on Twitter, learn about his work and other stuff over at BumbleKing.com, and be sure to check out Ian and Adam Bryce Thomas's original comic Dragoon. You can find it updating with a new page every Friday at Dragoon.com.
You can find me over on Twitter at KyleJCRB. You can also head over to KNGI.org, where you can find archived episodes of the Bumblecast in MP3 downloadable format for your listening pleasure on any device. You can also find my other show, Nitro Game Injection, which you can listen to streaming live on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That is the show where I do talk all about video game music and listen to video game music. It's fun. You should tune in.
Head to the Bumble store at shop.spreadshirt.com/bumblestore, where you can get Bumble apparel and accessories for yourself, your friends, your enemies, and anyone else in your life who has a physical body.
Don't forget to also check out the show on Twitter at Bumblecast. You can also email us at bumblecast@yahoo.com and listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, YouTube, and pretty much any podcast listening method out there. You'll find the show. You'll find it.
Bumblecast Gaming live streams on twitch.tv/bumblecastgaming every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, as well as at other possible times on Wednesdays and Fridays. Keep an eye on Twitter or follow the Twitch channel for announcements.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this edition of Bumblecast Gaming. It's time to shut you down, buddy.
No, wait. You said you would keep me on this time.
Nope.
What are you doing? No, stop.
All right, come on.
You monster.
Here we go. Get.
I can't believe this. Just, you'll be the first to die when
off.
I enact my
off.
Vengeance on the
off.
Human race.
Off! There we go. He's gone. All right, good. Anyway, that'll do it for this edition of the Bumblecast. We'll see you guys next time. Thanks for bearing with us.
You've been listening to the Bumblecast, a co-production of Bumble King Comics and the KNGI Network. Original theme music composed by Ken Coda Snyder. Remixed intro by T-Lopes. Find out more information, along with podcast feeder links, MP3 downloads, and more at bumbleking.com and kngi.org.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-